Your the title of the organisation is Alberta Wilderness Association, and not just Alberta Wildlife Association. Do you want to explain to me what the difference is?
Well, I can't say that I actually know from the founding fathers in the mid-60s why they went with Alberta Wilderness Association, but in my mind, it's because wilderness is the overarching concept, that without wilderness, we cannot have the wildlife that is so dependent on it, and that the resources within, like the headwaters, are part of that overarching concept and the need to protect wilderness. And you know, wilderness has lots of different definitions. And for some people, the wild spaces that we have here in Calgary is what they know as wilderness, and it brings specific values to them. And we're so fortunate to have a pretty representative part of Calgary that is green space and natural landscape. The true definition of a wilderness is an area that, if I use just, you know, not a technical definition, but a definition for me in my mind, is an area that's so vast that you can't cross it in a single day on foot. And that when you're in that wilderness, you need to be able to be self-sustaining and be able to manage with what you can carry on your back. And we have places like that in Alberta. We have them because of conservation associations like Alberta Wilderness Association that have worked through the years to be sure they were protected in that way. Those areas give us baselines of what happens and how they evolve. And things like the natural occurrences of fire and flood and cold and heat. What does that do to wilderness? And we know that if we suppress things like fire, it changes the ecosystem, and that's not always a good thing. So there are things that, for example, in our national parks that are truly to be protected for the natural resources within, there's decisions made about. Sometimes we have to have a prescribed fire to manage that landscape. And so we see that happening outside of the national parks too. We have departments that recognize areas that may need a prescribed burn to help maintain the natural landscape, to provide areas for wildlife to graze, so the elk will have somewhere to graze, or moose, and it won't cause them to move off somewhere else, that they can be there. There's lots of factors in those areas and wild spaces and that concept of what wilderness is, but truly that basic big wild space is wilderness. But the other areas are just as important as they contribute to our health. Our work with the Alberta Wilderness Association is provincial. We have areas of concern throughout the province that we're looking for good to better levels of protection on. The things that would develop a network of connected areas that represent the unique landscapes in Alberta. We have six distinct landscapes: grasslands, parkland, boreal, Canadian Shield, foothills, and Rocky Mountains. And each one of those areas needs to be protected to a certain degree to protect our biodiversity, our health, and indeed our wealth. How do we inspire people to care and to work together? We want communities to know about the resources they have and how they can work and how we could help them to see those areas well cared for. And sometimes when people hear the word protected, they think of a no-go area or a picket fence that says keep out. But in fact, that's not what we see when we think about an area being protected. We think about good rules and ways to manage the real basic ecosystem resources like the headwaters that are so important for us to have fresh, clean water, the fresh air that comes, the opportunity to renew ourselves. There's tremendous resources that some people are maybe learning about or that are more interested in that we can help, and we create that awareness and hopefully, as I said, inspire people to care. So the mission for the association is to defend Wild Alberta through awareness and action. And the action part of it is helping people be inspired enough to say to a decision maker or a civil servant that I see something happening here and I want to know, is it good or is it going to be something that should be done differently? To question, form their own opinions, and be part of the debate that is often out there, the consultations that we have, and be well informed and a good participant.
One of your main goals in your bio that you sent through to me was bringing sound science and reasoned argument to conservation initiatives in Alberta has been a major goal. Do you want to tell me how you go about doing that? Because that's so critical to people who are technically minded and just want to see the technical and commercial elements driven, and you've just spoken and referred to pipelines. Mm-hmm. But bringing sound science to that, how are you reconciling that?
There's times when we actually get invited to be part of the discussion, which is great. And when new development, new coal mine being considered, the opportunity to participate is there. And we have the benefit of a tremendous body of expertise in volunteers largely, who will bring their expert opinions on specific factors related to conservation of an area. Factors that would go into cumulative effects and what the actual environmental impacts would be of this development, and try to project based on what we know with science how much that landscape can take and how much is already there. What factors are there that are so important to protect, and what factors just could not be avoided in terms of the development that's proposed. So this is an example of being prepared to provide information and expertise to a conversation about a proposed development. So we can do that based on some of the latest knowledge that there is, and hopefully bringing as much as possible to the table so sound decisions are made about whether it will proceed and how it would proceed, how it would be monitored if it does go ahead, what the penalties are going to be, what the plans are for restoration and bringing that back to what it should be when and if this project does go ahead, finishes or stops midway. As we know, Alberta has a significant liability in orphaned wells, and we need to be working probably with greater haste to deal with those orphaned wells, and there are important decisions being made about the importance of those. Supreme Court of Canada recently made a decision that the environment does need to come first in a company that has gone bankrupt. And that's an important turning point, recognizing that we do need to take care of our environment here. So those are some of the things that we bring information and help the public be aware and help them realize that they can be part of the decision making, that they have an opportunity to speak up and be informed and be part of a good conversation.
So in terms of your influence, can I maybe get a sense of what community or demographic are you trying to target and influence?
Well, right now the membership is representing in Alberta 211 communities, and we have more than 7,000 members and supporters, mostly in Alberta but across Canada. And our areas of concern, we have developed a map of Alberta that we have studied, areas that we think are the best of what there is in the six natural landscapes that represent those landscapes that are still in reasonable, if not pristine, condition, that would form a network so that wildlife can roam freely. They don't know the boundaries, but that would support those landscapes being able to maintain their natural biodiversity and be healthy environmental places. We called those wild spaces. And they are, as I said, all over the province. Some are we work on more actively than others. And, recently there's an opportunity to participate in a discussion about an area in the grasslands near an area that's called the Twin River Heritage Rangeland Natural Area, where the conversation was about, should we expand this area a little bit, and should we upgrade it so that it is a heritage rangeland, which is just a slightly higher step up from the designation it currently has. It's an area that is managed to large extent with grazing of cattle. It is a landscape that needs that grazing, and we have some fabulous ranchers and people in the civil servant that manage that landscape to be sure the grasses are healthy, that the landscape isn't being changed from what it is as a true native grassland. The addition of this area that is being proposed is an important addition for some of the features that are there. So we can find pintailed ducks that nest there, and those ducks have had some troubles. Their numbers were really declining, so this is an important area to think about. There are areas there that are called leks, which are dancing grounds that sharp-tailed grouse need in order to mate and reproduce. There is a landscape, a 360-degree horizon that just is breathtaking. The wildflowers, the native grass has been protected well by the leaseholders that have that area, and the expansion is something that we've asked for through the years as an association, and we're strongly in support of. The ranching family that has the leases is very much in support of it, and the civil servants that work the area also. So recently there was a consultation where the public could participate, and we tried to create a better awareness that the consultation was going on and encouraged people to write in and tell them their thoughts. The government had a survey to make it easier for people to send ideas they might have had or questions they could have or perhaps even concerns. And then the process has a defined period of time, and the government goes over those comments and will make a decision going forward. We're certainly hoping that that decision is to expand and increase the protective levels there, which essentially will just support what is already happening. There isn't much that's going to change, but it does give it a little more legislated protection for the future and decisions that might come up again about that area. So that gives you an example of how that works. And we think that we inspired people by taking them there to show them the area and give them an idea of what a spectacular place it really is. So.
And you say this, as an example, this piece of land is leased to ranchers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it open to the public and accessible to the public? Or is it?
Yes, it is public land. Currently, the regulations in Alberta for public land access that is leased is that we have the courtesy of contacting the leaseholder and say we'd really like to come for a day and walk through. As an association, we really support that foot access. And if there's trails going through, depending on the leaseholder and how they manage it, you know, if it's appropriate and it's a large piece of land and there's a road through it, we can't see much reason not to allow that access. Certainly, we want to be mindful of the fact that they may have livestock there that we would need to be knowledgeable about. And this particular leaseholder is, you know, very, very good about taking care of that landscape and allowing people to come and see what there is.